Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell and here to help me navigate through all the news fresh from the Cannes Yachting Festival is Katya Damborski. Hello Katya.
Hi Stuart, how are you doing?
Well, we'll get to Cannes. Well, very good, thank you. We'll get to Cannes in a minute, and also Genoa, which you're jetting off to tomorrow, Wednesday.
Yep, that's right.
So your September really is just boat show crazy.
Boat show, and then a brief interlude at the Yacht Club de Monaco for their smart and sustainable marina event.
When's that?
Just before the Monaco Yacht Show.
So you're going for? Are you going straight from Genoa to Monaco?
You would have thought that would be the sensible thing to do, but no. Making my life slightly more complicated and so having a horrible impact on my carbon footprint. I'm flying back to England.
So you're flying back to England from Genoa on Saturday, then back to Monaco on...
Monday first thing,
yeah. Probably should have just stayed
On
the continent. Anyway, next year. but it's a mad month, isn't it? And we're only halfway through it. Mm. Lots more to come. I just want to kick off with some housekeeping. So our Boat Artistry and Craft Award nominations are open. I've mentioned the Bacchus before. So this is a brand new awards program. We've had some brilliant entries so far, but we'd love to have some more. So basically this is a new, it celebrates the finer points of artisanship that you find on yachts. We have awards for interior design, we have awards for exterior design. The World Superyacht Awards, you know, look at the boat holistically. What we don't have and what we don't celebrate currently are those small moments of excellence in craft, whether it be a chandelier, a piece of art, an Eglimise panel, or a sideboard, or a beautiful coffee table or dining table. These are the things that we want to celebrate, because there's some amazing companies in our sector building these things and they don't often get the due recognition.
Yeah, I think these awards are very needed, aren't they? Because as you said, there are so many features on boards that just don't get the attention they deserve. And this is a great way of honouring the craftspeople who pour so much love and care into them. And I think these features really make the boat sometimes, right? Like
they so do. And you walk onto a boat. I mean, I've never, ever in my life been wowed by a dining table before. But walking on a superyacht for the first time and going, actually, wow.
Yeah.
That's a dining table. Yeah. So that's the only experience of dining table wow I've ever had has been on a big yacht. The money involved in these tables and the time and labor involved in building them is extraordinary. Last year, I went up to see Silver Lining and learned a bit more about their processes. And it's mind-blowing how much time it takes to design some of these pieces, design and build and craft these pieces. Phenomenal. So, it's like the Silver Linings and the DKTs of this world. We really want to put on a pedestal and shout about, because what they're doing is extraordinary, and we'd like to recognize that. There's two awards in the Bacchus: excellence in craftsmanship, so that's celebrating a single piece, could be anything as mentioned earlier, and the second category is emerging artisan of the year. So this is per someone who works solo or as part of a team, who's fairly new to the craft field, but who has just demonstrated some real talent in the craft. And we called it emerging because we at the Superyacht Design Festival in Milan a few years ago, everything's young. Everything defaults to young designer, young this, young that. And we were slightly told off by one of the speakers, because she said, well, what if it's a 40-year-old retraining, or a 50-year-old who has had a career elsewhere but has entered a new field? Why, they can't be classed as young anymore. So she said you should use the term emerging, because it still celebrates new talent. And I thought that was a good point, well made, really. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's called emerging. So there you go. Get involved. If you're out there listening and you're aware of a sensational piece of furniture or lighting fixture or whatever it might be, or you're new to the field of craft and you have had a piece installed on a superyacht this year, all the details are on the website.
And nominations are open now, are they?
They are open now. In fact, we've got a lot of nominations open now. The World Superyacht Awards nominations are open now. The Design and Innovation Awards nominations are open now, and these BACAS as well. Yep, head to the website. It is all there. Also on the website is a sensational interview with none other than fashion legend Tommy Hilfiger. I was actually wearing a pair of Hilfiger jeans yesterday. Big fan of the brand.
In homage to him.
That's right. I should have been wearing them today, really, as we record this. I mean, who doesn't know Tommy Hilfiger? You know, mastermind of this globe-trotting brand from New York. Actually, reading about his background was interesting, because I didn't know much. Obviously, I'm aware of the brand, and I've seen him on TV, but I'd never... I didn't know much about his history. So he's from New York. He opened a small clothing store in 1969 selling bell-bottom jeans. And from there, his fashion empire grew. And the idea for his label came to him in a dream in 1972. So he said in the interview, "I could actually picture in my mind what I wanted it to be and what I wanted the clothes to be. It took a while to get there because there were ups and downs financially, but I'm realizing that dream today." So Lucy Dunn, our wonderful acting features director, she interviewed Tommy and his wife Dee not too long ago. That feature is in the October issue of the magazine, which is the one going to the Monaco Yacht Show. It's a great feature. And it's online now as well if you want to read it for yourself straight away.
And the connection to the sea, obviously he's got flag, but the Hilfiger brand is quite strongly connected to the ocean, right?
It is. Again, I learnt this as well. I knew him. I knew he owned Flag, the 62-metre Fed ship, but I didn't know he was so... Well, I didn't appreciate that his brand was designed from the ground up to have that kind of association. So he also said in the feature, "I have always loved the look and feel of yachting and sailing and being on the sea. It conjures places in the world infused with wealth, warmth, romance, excitement, inspiration and aspiration. Newport, Nantucket, Portofino, Saint-Tropez. Just as in my dreams as a boy, being on the water is all about escapism. The good life is something everyone wants."
That is really nice.
It's a good quote.
I'm moved by that. Wealth, yeah. Warmth, romance, excitement. What is yachting if not those things?
Quite. So his own flag for a few years. He bought her off his friend Lawrence Stroll when Mr. Stroll took delivery of the much larger Faith from Fedship, and then obviously the opportunity came up to buy Flag for Mr. Hilfiger. And excitingly, Flag will be at the Monaco Yacht Show. She is listed for sale and charter with Burgess, asking $39.5 million.
And am I correct in thinking that Flag used to be Faith?
Yeah, it was called Faith.
Originally.
Yeah, and then renamed Flag.
Right. I loved reading that feature because it was so interesting to hear about Tommy Hilfiger's love for Fedships. I think that really came through. I'm not surprised at all because you just know that he's got fantastic taste, but hearing how passionately he cared for his current Fedship, thinking about upgrading to a new Fedship, he said in the feature he was talking to his friend and his friend was like, "Why would you want to upgrade? You've got the best Fedship on the water." It's like, he's a yachtie. He's a yacht nerd.
Yeah, yeah. Like he likes Boat International, fan of the mag. So it's a great to be able to stick him on. Is one of his big quotes is on the cover of the October issue, and it's a kind of an 8-ish page feature. Wonderfully written. Yeah, good one. Good exclusive.
Nice.
Monaco Yacht Show edition.
I liked hearing about the fact that he met his wife on the beach in Saint-Tropez. I feel like there's still hope for me yet. If I just go and hang out in Pamplona, I might get swept off my feet by a suave fashion designer. That gave me quite a lot of hope, yeah.
If any are listening.
See you on the beach. See you in Saint-Tropez.
Actually, the most expensive item of clothing I think I've ever bought was a Tommy Hilfiger jacket.
Still?
Yeah, it's like a pea coat. It's this amazingly warm pea coat, and it cost an eye-watering amount of money.
Right.
As you can probably tell, I don't spend... My wardrobe budget isn't vast.
I can see that. Stuart's in like a hoodie combo right now, as he normally is, in fact.
Love some Marks and Spencers. Can't go wrong. But this pea coat was, it served me so well. It's still going. It looks a bit tattier now, but it's so warm. I love it. So as we mentioned at the top, yeah, it's been a bit of a crazy month. So before Cannes, I was in Monaco, partying with Måneskin. Yeah, I liked it. I like Måneskin. I didn't know I liked Måneskin. I've learnt that I like Måneskin.
Right, okay. So can you drop us a beat in keeping with last week's theme or the week before last's theme?
So we've adapted Catch's contract. There's now a clause that says she's never allowed to sing on the podcast again. I know you'll all be devastated to hear that.
I don't think I signed that, guys. I think there's still time, podcast listeners.
No, I'm not sure I can bang out a Måneskin tune. But I thought they were great. Real rock stars. They did an Elvis cover, which was great. There was some swearing. Yeah.
Not swearing at the Yacht Club de Monaco. Well,
the previous acts have been... I should explain, this is all in service of the Fretty group, because they do the big private preview of Monaco ahead of Cannes every year. And Fretty kind of take over the Porto Cool, and they put on this great concert. They've had some amazing acts in the past. Lionel Richie, Elton John did it 1 year. And this year, Måneskin were selected to entertain their guests. And yeah, they're awesome. Brilliant four-piece. I thought, because I knew they had some a Eurovision association. And when people have that Eurovision association, there's a slightly unserious whiff about them. But they got on stage and they were like, they were really cool. I was a proper fanboy. I was right down the front.
You were at the front?
Absolutely. Dancing around.
Isn't it like a floating stage?
Yeah.
So you were kind of right up there on the water, just partying on down.
Yeah. Well, the kind of floating stage goes right up against to the stage that they were on. So I was kind of like, yeah, looking up. So it was a four-piece. They're amazing, actually. They've got this kind of lead guitarist. He's this kind of androgynous, hippie-ish, 60s, open shirt, like foot up on the speaker, big solos. The lead singer is this kind of writhing, kind of Mick Jagger-esque warbler. The bassist is this... like really talented, beautiful woman, and then the drummer is that this kind of rocky god kind of figure, like big long hair, looks a bit unclean. And, as a four piece, it really works because they kind of hit all that, they tick all those boxes.
Yeah, those are the ingredients for a successful band.
Yeah,
I think they're just missing the, well, they're not. They've got you in the front of the crowd. S.J. Campbell in the building.
That's right. So I was stuck a few Måneskin songs on my Spotify liked list.
Did you get an autograph to bring home for the kids?
No. So the wife and I, at about 1 o'clock, we were tuckered out. We were done. So we went to bed. But apparently we were told the next day that they came back. So they went off stage and cruised off in a Wally, I think, and then kind of came back at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and kept the party going. But I was snoring by then, so I missed all that fun.
Wow. And so for the private preview, did you get to see Charles and Boats? Did you get to look around a bit?
Yeah, we had a blast round the next day. It's a great way to shake off the cobwebs on a Wally Tender 48, which was great fun. Just blasting around out in the calm seas off Monaco Harbour in a very, very cool boat. So in all, it was a great weekend. And then it was back and then back again.
You did a Catia.
I did a Catia.
Maybe it was a Stuart before it was a Catia.
Yeah.
Back for one day, out again.
So let's talk Cannes. It was hot, but it wasn't as outrageously microwave-like as last year. But it was great. Everyone was in a great mood, I thought.
Yeah, top form from the boat team.
Catia and I, we did a series of videos with Princess. You can see all those on our Instagram channel and Princess Yachts' YouTube channel. So if you want to see us interrogating a few designers and technologists and equipment manufacturers and various other people about the state of the market and the exciting things being developed, you can see all those vids now. That was good fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed making those. I think it was a very professional outfit. It was sold to me as like, can you come and chat to Princess about some of their new products and chat to a few other people about what they've got going on? I was like, yeah, of course. I do that in my spare time. And then suddenly there's like three cameras on you and a sound guy miking you up and you're then like trying to follow the script. But I think, you know, it was a good thing to do. It's called View from the Deck. And yeah, some of the episodes are really good. My parents actually watched one and they said that I was better than you. They watched all of us together.
That's absolutely fair.
Yeah, thanks.
I couldn't agree more. What about boats? What did you get on and what did you like?
So, do you know what? I didn't do that many boats, as I never do, because I'm tied up in the press conferences. But on the final day, I had a bit of free time. So I made a beeline over to the Freshie Group stand to see the GTX 116 from Pershing. So that's one that we'd actually talked about on the last podcast with me and Stuart. And yeah, it was definitely worth seeing. I really like the way they designed this enormous aft deck. And then the salon is laid out in a kind of asymmetrical way, which really opens up the space. And you get this really, really well considered layout, which is funny because it's like it's a sports boat, right? And it's very much a boy's boat. Like when you go on board, it's like, you know, proper masculine, wants to go fast, wants to be cool. But they've got this fantastic layout that's like really designed for livability and people getting together, and like you can almost see families enjoying the space. So it was really surprising, really cool. If you do go on board, check out the owner's suite, because that is like a bachelor pad to its core. I feel like I could smell the tobacco and oud when I went in there. Like it was
oud. What's oud?
Oud is the base note in lots of perfumes. It's kind of very woody. I think it comes from like a tree resin. I thought you were meant to be cultured, Stuart.
I just googled oud. Apparently an oud is a short-necked lute type pear-shaped fretless stringed instrument.
God, now I'm googling it too to make sure I don't sound like an idiot on the podcast. Yeah, intensely fragrant oil extracted from tree resin.
So it smells like intensely fragrant oil extracted from trees and not a short-necked lute-type pear-shaped fretless stringed instrument.
Exactly. It smells like a boy that you should steer clear of. I feel like that's the vibe.
I feel like you should probably steer clear of someone playing a fretless stringed instrument, pear-shaped and lute-type.
I mean, can't argue with that.
No. All right. Yeah, GTX 116 from Pershing was pretty cool. I had a good look around the Balletto T52. I think that was the first hull, right?
Yep.
Biggest boat making its debut at the show. Interesting spatial arrangement. The upper deck winter garden was a neat solution. The way the glass retracted completely, we couldn't quite figure out. No one could give us an answer as to whether it was counted in gross tonnage or not. I'm guessing not counted in gross tonnage because it's quite a big boat. Slip under 500 gross tons. But the it was a great solution, and it was kind of the lower cockpit on the aft deck was quite nice, especially I imagine that's a good space when the transom doors folded down. But yeah, nicely put together it seemed from Balletto, and a few different solutions. Massive galley, but without an island. Huge galley, but you can have an island. Of course, you can have an island. But yeah, good space for the chefs on that boat, I thought. Yeah, good boat.
Nice. You can read about that in the October issue.
You can.
I also really enjoyed the Icon from Tide. So it's a pretty impractical looking boat, but it's extremely cool. If you are a follower of the Yacht Writer or Boat International, you may have seen it already. But it's basically what I'd imagine like a glass pyramid would look like if you flipped it on its side, put a load of batteries in it, made it foil, and then just kind of fitted out the interior with carpets and swivel chairs in a very James Bond style, which Stuart got extremely into. Like, he really lent into that. I couldn't stop him. He was all for the idea. I just was behind the camera. But no, it's really cool, isn't it? It's reaching top speeds of around 30 knots, and it genuinely is pretty smooth and non-bumpy with those foils, right?
Yeah, it's a very impressive ride. I've kind of got a little bit blasé about the foiling ride of some of these boats now, because you see a choppy boat wake and you kind of brace for impact and then you kind of glide over it. I tested the foiler in Dubai a few years ago and had it was a similar kind of experience, just like the floating. I'm making hand movements at the moment, which obviously you can't see, but you feel like you're on a cloud or something. It's really good.
Yeah. No, it was cool. So if you haven't seen that in action, you can go on the Boat International Instagram and you'll see Stuart looking very pleased as we glide over a boat wake. No hand gestures included.
Yeah. Extraordinary boat. But you do feel a bit, because it is all glass basically, as you're coming in, everyone is looking at you. So you do feel a bit exposed in this big glass box as the entire Cannes Yachting Festival turns to take a picture of you coming into the harbour.
I quite like that. I felt like a celebrity, like an A-lister.
Yeah, you lent into that.
I did, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, have a look at the video. It's quite good fun. It would be, I need to give a shout out, a special shout out to Hendrik, a young yacht designer I met, podcast super fan. And on the last day, I left on the Saturday, but he very kindly bought some, I think they were Scotch eggs round to the stand for us. Really, really talented sketcher designer. So hoping to see more from him in the future. But thank you for the treat, Hendrik, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening, indeed, and thank you for the Scotch eggs, because they really did. They saved my life on the last day. They kind of appeared out of nowhere, and they were delicious. They were like a proper gourmet Scotch egg. I didn't really think the French were into Scotch eggs, so I'm not sure where Hendrik sourced them from.
Flew back to.
Do you think?
The UK.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, for the podcast, it's got to be done, right?
Genoa. Tell me about Genoa.
Well, Genoa is one of my favourite shows because no one knows what boats are going, or maybe the Italians maybe do, but they don't really share with the English, because it's mainly like it's still quite a B2B show. It doesn't really feel like there's that many journalists there yet. I mean, I went last year and I'm going this year, and to be fair, I'm being hosted by the Italian trade agency, so they are making an effort to get the media out there. But it's just like the most, like after Cannes, which is so structured, it's like press conference, press conference, press conference, news, news, news. Genoa is like all the Italians getting together, drinking espresso and drinking Aperol spritzes and, you know, going around a few boats as well. So when I don't get to see any boats in Cannes, I can just do it in Genoa. So I'm going to see basically the entire Cannes lineup, hopefully, in Genoa, and also do some sea trials, because they do tend to go out in Genoa. And it's just a really great show. I would thoroughly recommend it to everyone who enjoys the vibes and the kind of relaxed Italian style.
Genoa used to be huge, vast show that went over 10 days, I think, or something. It used to get hundreds of thousands of people through the Genoa boat show, I seem to remember. Then it was slightly, then Cannes grew in prominence and Genoa sunk in prominence.
It was usurped.
It was usurped. But then there's a big effort now underway to kind of re-elevate Genoa, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it is a really great show. It covers a lot of space on land and on sea, and there's some great boats there, and it's more relaxed than Cannes, because in Cannes they're a bit stricter about who can go on boats, but in Genoa it's kind of, you know, you can waltz on. So yeah, keep an eye on the Boat International Instagram and the Yacht Writer Instagram for some Genoa coverage while I'm out there.
And then of course the big one,
the big kahuna,
Monaco Yacht Show, kicks off next Wednesday. Wednesday's the first day, the 27th, right?
Yes. Yeah, maybe. But they get all the journalists out there beforehand for all the pre-show events on the Tuesday.
I think all the press stuff starts from midday on the 26th almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some big breaking news, which you might have heard, is that Kismet, the big Lursen, has been sold. So she won't be at the show, we understand. But Phoenix 2 will be there, which wasn't part of the plan. Phoenix 2 was there last year as well, so 2 years running at the Monaco Yacht Show for that, another big Lursen. That's exciting. Beautiful boat, Phoenix 2. But shame not to see Kismet there. But yeah, good that she's been sold.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think she was. She's been in the market a while, and then Cecil Wright came in as a joint CA back in June, and then she sold a few months later. So hats off to Cecil Wright. What an incredible accomplishment. And Kismet was asking 149 million euros at the time of her sale. And then Phoenix 2, that's so she's 5 meters shorter. She's a boat that I love a lot. One of the first boats I went on board while being here at Boat. And then she was listed last year. And then Cecil Wright have again just come on board as JCA. So we'll see if Chris and the team can work their magic.
Yeah, some big brokerage news ahead of the show. So just we're going to have a quick whip through of some of the exciting debuts. So what have you got, Katia?
Well, I'm excited for Alchemy. That's our cover boat. So that is a Rossi Navi 65 metres. She was developed entirely over Zoom, which I thought was pretty cool. And then she's got a Vitruvius hull, which is a style that I really like, from Philip Briand, obviously. The Tridex Superyacht was built to fulfil an owner's brief for large alfresco areas with a strong focus on wellness, and the result is over 330 square metres of outdoor space and plenty of amenities, including a jacuzzi.
Araya, the 77 metre from Golden Yachts, will be there too. Looks a bit different, Araya, so it'll be good to see how that translates on the inside. She's got a vertical bow and trapezium-shaped windows. Very contemporary profile compared to her slightly, I suppose, curvier predecessors, Opari and Opetasia. Interesting support vessel coming. Bad Company support, 53 metre from Diamond Yachting.
Yep, so this is the first unit in this new series that Diamond Yachting have got going on, and it's been built for Anthony Shea. And regular podcast listeners may recall that I interviewed him a few months ago. And he is just, he's so cool. Isn't he so cool?
I follow them on Instagram, all the Bad Company stuff on Instagram. It's amazing what they get up to.
Yeah, honestly insane. So this is his new mothership to lead his big fleet of about 10, or it's constantly changing, 10 or 11 boats, which he fishes with in very remote parts of the world. And yeah, I'm really keen to see what Diamond Yachting have done to accommodate those customizations that he'll need, obviously, to do all that insane angling. Okay, and then so that's pretty, not slow boat, but definitely kind of more slow and steady. On to fast boats now.
The new 25 meter Belide 80 will be at the show. This is the new world's fastest superyacht. So we reckon she hit 73 knots during sea trials in mid-April, and she's described as a hyper-muscle yacht. All-carbon construction, unique interior, obviously, because weight is a consideration. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects finishes. So keen to have a poke around her.
Yeah, I think we've got a writer doing a feature on her. And really seeing if she's going to hit those 70 plus knots. So keep an eye out for that one. Not a fast yacht, but a big red yacht. This is Leona will be at the show. She's an 80 meter Bilgin. Obviously, her sister ship Tatiana was in Monaco in 2021. And everyone was very excited for that beach club swimming pool setup. And Leona has a similar thing going on, but she has got these Greek statues and kind of fountains and light show going on down there. So I think that will be a real eye catcher at the show as well.
She definitely will be. She'll stand out, and her interior is rich and full of detail.
Yeah,
and fantastical. She was on the cover of the September issue. So you might have had a good look at her already in the magazine, but if you get the opportunity, do sneak on board. San Lorenzo's first X Space will be at the show, 44 meter model. Development, I suppose, of their successful Explorer series.
This is a really interesting yacht because I've heard extremely little about her. San Lorenzo has really played this one close to the vest. So I'm really keen to see what they've done.
Yeah, extra private design. They've described it as extra private. I wonder what that means in practice. So I think, well, one of her five decks is dedicated entirely to the owner, which is pretty clever on a 44-meter boat.
Yeah, and incredible use of glass as well, which will be interesting, because as you said, this is supposed to be some kind of explorer-esque thing. So large windows are featured throughout, and most portholes in the cabins are replaced with glass walls.
And that's just a snapshot, really. There's loads and loads of very exciting boats. Arcadia's got a cool A96 there, 29.3 metres. The Mazu 92 DS, which I missed in Cannes, will be in Monaco. So I will endeavour to have a look at her as well. But obviously, in traditional fashion, we've put a little preview together on the website. So do go check it out. We'll include the link in the description if you want to have a little look through the list of what we consider to be the most exciting new launches and debuts at the show. Brokerage pick time, Katya.
Yeah, it is brokerage pick time. And guess who's got the best listing of the last week?
I'm going to win this, hands down. You don't stand a chance. So Savannah, the 85.3 meter Fed ship, has been listed for sale for the very first time. And Edmiston have the CA. Super exciting. Very, very well-known boat. Featured extensively in Boat International on our website. I've been on board a few times in Bermuda and Fort Lauderdale and had a good, solid tour on both occasions. Gorgeous boat. So design comes from Fedship and Devoit, and a Paris-based CG design did the incredible interiors. I didn't know she'd had a refit in 2020. I learnt that, actually. So she should be looking pretty fresh. So she won Motor Yacht of the Year at the 2015 World Super Yacht Awards. And it's not just her design. Her underpinnings are very, very solid too, and efficient. So apparently she is 30% more fuel efficient than other yachts in her class. She's got a kind of first-of-its-kind hybrid propulsion system. The interior, I was desperately trying to find the adjectives to describe it. I mean, it's really sinuous and curvy and quite feminine, and there's no straight lines on board.
No oud smell on Savannah.
Yeah, less oud, fewer lutes. But yeah, it's a very convention-defying super yacht. There's a huge 9-meter aft-deck pool, and of course the famous Nemo Lounge, which offers you a view simultaneously of the above and below water realms. There's a secret, interesting little lounge right in the bow of the boat that you wouldn't know was there unless someone pointed it out to you. This hatch in the deck opens and you step down into this discreet little lounge in the forepeak. And if you didn't know it was there, you just never find it.
I think that's kind of the point, isn't it?
Yes, I think that's probably the point.
So do you want to make a guess on how much Savannah is asking?
Well, I was expecting that question, so I've had a little look back, and I've had a look at what's currently listed around the same size and what past listings have been listed for. Of course, we don't know their final sale price, but we can see the listing price. So of current listings, Opetasia, the 85 meter from Golden Yachts, delivered in 2018, she's listed for 89.999 million euros. B2, the 85.65 metre Abeking and Rasmussen from 2009 is listed for 79 million euros. Then if you look at past listings, Man of Steel, which was formerly Seven Seas, the 86 metre Ocean Cove from 2010 was listed at $157 million when she sold in 2021. Amatasia, the 85-metre Lursen, delivered in 2017, was listed at 175 million euros when she sold in 2019. So I think the figure will be somewhere between 150, maybe a touch more than 150. What do you reckon?
Yeah, maybe. Didn't you say the market was slowing down a little bit, so 150 could be...
Well, the big boats, I mean, big quality boats still seem to sell very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, the people are expecting the market to soften a bit more towards the end of the year. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I think higher than 150. Just slightly up from that, I'd say.
So like 170, 180?
Yeah. Let's go for that.
Why don't we split the difference? So 160.
No, we both have to have different...
Well, neither of us are yacht brokers, so we probably got that wildly wrong.
We both have to have different horses to back in this race so that when the price is eventually announced, hopefully, one of us can be right. So what did you say, 150?
Yeah, and maybe 150 or a bit north of 150.
A bit north of 150. And I said 170.
Okay.
What's the stakes?
€5.
€5?
Yeah.
You don't have much confidence in yourself.
No.
All right, €5. Podcast listeners, you heard it here first. That was a spit shake for everyone listening at home. And
I'm off to wash my hands. So what have you gone for?
So mine is not quite Savannah, but it is a really nice yacht. It is the Mangusta Dopamine from Overmarine Group. So she's been newly listed for sale with Denison, and she is asking $13.85 million. And it's an Alberto Mancini design. Obviously, he's a big Overmarine collaborator, and you know I love the Mancini design. So she's got, obviously, that big forward pool, which is just such a good use of space with the sun pads and the awning. And it's, of course, made to kind of feel like a floating island right in the bow there. And I think they have absolutely nailed that, because honestly, I can't imagine anything better than being on my little floating island and then diving into the sea. And having that set up there is just such a nice design. And then obviously this is a sporty yacht, but she's still got loads of space. She's got this 40 square meters owner's suite and then really good head heights of over 2 meters, I think. So yeah, and great name as well. If I bought that yacht, I think I would keep Dopamine, because I think that's a nice name.
Yeah, it is. And the reason Dopamine's for sale is because the owner is taking delivery of a new Balliotto T52 very, very shortly. In fact, I've just been speaking to him, actually. So he will feature in the next member's logbook.
Oh, brilliant.
In the magazine. So he's very excited about his new Balliotto that's coming.
And it'll be called Dopamine as well?
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure.
Serotonin, maybe.
Serotonin. Okay, so Savannah or Dopamine? Well, I mean, Dopamine, great boat, but Savannah, sensational boat.
All right.
Business news. There's so much at the moment, so we thought we'd just do some really, really quick business stories released in and around the Cannes Yachting Festival. The Italian Sea Group has reported a 78% increase in profits for H1 2023. So net profit was 13.6 million. According to its latest financial report in the first half of the year, the results were driven by a strong top-line performance, where consolidated revenue in the first half of 2023 amounted to €165.9 million.
Yep, that's right. And elsewhere, not quite so figures-driven, but Northrop & Johnson has secured an exclusive partnership with VisionF. So VisionF is a Turkish yard. They do mostly catamarans in aluminium and GRP between 24 and 30 metres. And yeah, Northrop & Johnson will now become the sole representative of VisionF products worldwide, with a particular focus on the American and European markets.
Sunseeker, meanwhile, has committed £40 million to new product development. During a press conference at the Cannes Yachting Festival, the shipyard said the funds will be directed toward new product development, training programs and production capabilities to keep pace with the spate of new product launches since 2019, which brought the group's range from 11 models to 20.
I think they also announced at a press conference that they've got new space as well, new shed space to keep up with all this demand. So,
yeah, it's a busy part of the market.
Yeah. And then Nauta Swan celebrates a bursting order book. So this was again announced during Cannes. They reported a strong fiscal position in 2023 with an order book reaching €195 million in the first 8 months of the year. CEO Giovanni Pomati revealed more than 30 yachts have been delivered so far in 2023, leaving the yard with a current order book totaling €180 million.
The Ferretti Group, meanwhile, has announced plans to release more than 20 new products between 2023 and 2025, after having successfully launched 25 new models in the previous three-year period. This ambitious outlook has been fueled by a strong fiscal performance in the first half of 2023, they said, bolstered by the completion of the company's dual listing on the Milan Euronext exchange earlier this year. At present, the group reports more than 50% of its share capital is being traded on the Italian and Hong Kong stock markets. That's the business news done. Let's go on to general news.
Yep.
Why don't you go first?
Okay, I will. So, back to the Italian Sea Group, they have launched a new 43.5-metre motor catamaran under the Technomar brand, and it's called This Is It.
This is a mad-looking boat. Yes. Mad, like, in a good mad.
What else is there when we're talking about yachts? If you're going to have a yacht, you're going to want to make it be a bit crazy, right?
I learned about this project a little while ago, and I could not believe it was real. It was that. I was like, what? This is a concept. This is some kind of crazy concept that's never going to see the light of day. Then they said, no, we're building it. I was like, what?
Wow. Okay. So dreamt up by Giovanni Constantino and brought to life. So it was commissioned in 2020, and then the shipyard began construction in 2021. She'll have more than 600 square meters of glass windows, which, as you can probably imagine, created some weight control issues, which hopefully have been resolved. And she's also got, this is in the press release, I need to get to the bottom of what this is, a vertical garden spanning two decks.
Yeah.
Can you picture that in your mind?
I think I even saw a rendering some time ago. Yeah.
Okay, so it's in Stuart's mind's eye, not quite in mine, but hopefully we'll see it in Monaco. So we'll have a clear picture of it then.
But yeah, amazing looking thing. And double whammy of massive catamaran news over at the Italian Sea Group. Obviously, This Is It. And then Art Explorer as well, which will shortly be spied for the first time on the water. Yeah, really exciting. Next up, we move to Holland and the news that Van der Valk has begun construction on a custom 34.1-metre motor yacht known as Project 111.11, which rolls off the tongue. 111.11. Maybe you're supposed to say 111.11. Delivery is slated for Q3 2024. Project 111.11 is being built for experienced owners who have spent more than three decades on the water. They have been heavily involved with the design process, with Guido de Groot responsible for the functional exterior and Carla Gilhelm taking charge of the interior.
I bet it's called that because that's the exact measurement.
That would make sense.
Which makes, yeah, if you're going to have a boat that's exactly that, you're going to have to call it that as a project name, right?
Yeah.
I back it. Van der Valk, you have my support for that one. Don't listen to Stuart. Also in the Netherlands, we've got Reliance that has now been delivered from Heesen. It's a 55-metre, formerly known as Project Gemini. And she's actually been delivered with Heesen saying the delivery was completed in complete cooperation with the Dutch authorities. West Nautical oversaw the construction and now has the vessel in their charter fleet. So she left the outfitting shed in Oz in October 2022 for her sea trials. Her sporty exteriors are the work of Amiga Architects and interiors are by Luca Dini. And I believe this is the first Luca Dini and Heesen collab on the water, but I could be wrong.
It is. Good knowledge. The first Luca Dini Heesen collab. Right. It's time for our data story. As ever, brought to you by Boat Pro, the superyacht industry's leading market intelligence service. Naturally, we're looking at Monaco. So we thought we'd drill down into the data for yachts over 24 metres attending the Monaco Yacht Show. So there will be 109 yachts over 24 metres at the show this year versus 110 last year. The average LOA of those 109 boats is 47.6 metres.
Yep, and there are more new yachts coming this year, so that's 44 compared to 32 last year. Probably due to more yachts being launched this year than in 2022, maybe?
Well, the order book is strong, So that would make sense, yeah. Stronger, certainly, than it was last year. The biggest new yacht at the show this year will be the red-hulled 80-metre Leona, which we discussed a little earlier, built by Bilgin Yachts. The largest second-hand yacht is 97-metre Corinthia 7. She's actually not for sale, but for charter with Fraser, and she'll be there showing off some fresh new refit looks.
Yep, she just checked out of Blom & Voss, so she'll be looking better than ever. And Corinthia is also the biggest yacht at the show, which is actually quite a bit smaller than last year's Queen of Monaco, which was 150-metre Apo. Apo was not just the largest yacht in 2022, but the largest yacht ever to appear in Monaco. So slightly smaller this year, but still, I think Corinthia will be, I think there'll be queues to get on board and see what they've, see what Blomavos has done with her.
Yeah, because Corinthia's always been a very, very, had been until it's sold and has been refitted, had been a very, very private boat, very little exposure of it anywhere, online, in print. So being able to have a look at her post-refit will be really exciting. I will be in that queue. And Kismet, which you mentioned earlier, obviously not going to be at the show, but she has been replaced by Phoenix 2, which is a very, very good substitution indeed. So, yeah, lots to look forward to. It's going to be a very, very busy few days, isn't it?
Yep, you'll see me with my coffee.
Dear listener, the reason Catchy can't say the next line is because we just had to cut out a whole chunk because she was supposed to say, you'll see me with my coffee and under eye bags. And I said, under eye bags? You mean eye bags? Apparently, everyone calls them under eye bags.
They do. When they're trying to sell you a product, they say, you know, serum for your under eye bags.
And I thought they were. I thought under eye bags were a product, like a product you put under your eyes. Do you mean just eye?
Dark circles under, look, espresso.
Eye bags.
Eye bags, dark circles under the eyes. Yeah, what more can I say? Anyway, you'll see me with those coming to a dock near you very soon. And Stuart as well with his dark circles under his eyes.
I'm off to buy some under eye bags.
Right.
And yeah, it's going to be great. Looking forward to it. Last year wasn't so relentlessly hot either, so I'm kind of hoping this year won't be so steamy. It'll be good. And then, so we probably forego the podcast next week because we have attempted to do a podcast from the Monaco Yacht Show before and it was a total disaster. So we might be skipping a week. We'll see how we go. And then after that, the action moves down to Le Voile de Saint-Tropez, which is always a spectacular event. And we do a lovely evening on board Talita, which is my favorite, well, yeah, top three events of the year. I love that one. And then we'll be back. So we'll see you after the crazy. I hope to see you at the show. If you're there, come and say hi. Grab a copy of the magazine.
Yeah, please do come and say hi. We'd love to see you in person. You don't have to bring Scotch eggs. We will like you more if you do, but, you know, it's fine if you don't.
Yeah, yeah. Or the Monaco equivalent, quail's eggs. Alrighty, thanks for listening, everybody. This has been a production of Boat International Media. It was mixed and produced by Naomi Wilson and Adam Geist. Don't forget to like and subscribe. See you in Monaco or Saint-Tropez. If not, check back in a few weeks and we'll have more for you then.